If you have your Bibles, John 2, 9, and 10. Now, you've heard this message many, many times. John chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And it says, the person in charge tasted the water that had become wine. Now, we know that this is Jesus' first miracle, right? He's at the wedding. They run out of wine, and they come, and they especially come to Jesus and say, hey, would you do this? And I love this because it shows the role of Jesus' mom. And he's like, my time hasn't come. And she's like, no, come on, son, do that wine trick thing that you do for him. It's so amazing. So he has them fill the jugs of water. Remember, he has them filled. They drink the wine, and it's the best wine they've ever had in their life. So this is where we're at. It says, the person in charge tasted the water that had become wine. He didn't know where it had come from. Although the servers who had poured the water knew, the person in charge called the groom and said to him, everyone serves the best wine first, and when people are drunk, the host serves the cheap wine. But you have saved the best wine for now. Wow, that blew my mind, because so many times I've heard this preached. It says you save the best for last. He didn't save it for last. The Bible says he saved it for now. So the people that were not deserving, because they were already drunk and their taste buds weren't that sharp, God's saying, I'm not serving you second best. I'm serving you best.
Yeah.
Because he saved the best for now.
Yeah.
We as a generation, I mean, our society is becoming more and more morally corrupt. And yet, God doesn't judge us on that. He's judging us on our hearts. He said, God, we love you. We cry out for our nation. We thank you, God, that all things are possible. And you know what? He's saving the best for now. See, a lot of us have a future mentality. Well, God's going to do something wonderful in the days to come. But God wants to do something now with those believers who have a now faith. I want us to have a now faith, that we don't just go through a day and say, oh, it's a day, oh, whatever. Let's look at it as an opportunity to do something for God. Because I want to tell you, your greatest days are not behind you. Your greatest days are not ahead of you. Your greatest day is today.
That's right.
This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why do you think I share that scripture with you every Sunday morning? Because that is a mentality that if you grasp it, will change your lives.
That's awesome.
This is the day. God wants to do something in you now. See, some of you feel like, oh, God doesn't want me anymore. God doesn't love me. God doesn't need me. That is lies from the pit of hell.
Amen.
God needs you. God loves you. God wants you. And as Dino shared, God can't love you anymore. Amen. He already has a big 8x10 of you on his refrigerator. How much more do you want from him?
Amen.
That's how much he loves you. But we have to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto other people's to realize the now moments. We miss now faith moments because we're so consumed with ourselves.
Wow.
Granted, when we go shopping, we're normally there to pick up certain things. But what a great opportunity to share Christ.
Yeah.
Friday night, Austin and I, we all went to the movie, and then we got to Kristen wanted to run into some store in the Highlands. And so Austin and I went into Highlands. We went into a certain store, because there's not a whole lot of guy stores there. And there was a group of people, and something was happening. And Austin was like on it like a bird dog on he's gone. The Lord just said, circle around, because somebody had fallen or had something happen physically, and there were people there. And Austin's right there, just all of a sudden, trying to pray. And the Lord just said, circle and intercede for him. And so I'm circling all around the area, just interceding for him. And one of the young men that was in the part of this kept watching me. And he came over to me and said, are you with him? And I go, yeah, I'm with Dad. And he goes, I never knew my dad. That was his first sentence to me. How many people introduce themselves, say, hi, I don't know nothing about my dad? And I said, well, I'm sorry, but you have a Heavenly Father that loves you and will never leave you. And while Austin's ministering there, I'm ministering here. And then at the very end, I said, don't you realize how much God loves you? That he sent two guys into this store that wouldn't normally come into this store just to minister to you?
Yeah.
And he shook his hand and he goes, yeah. It kind of blew him away that God would do that because of him. But see, you have to be obedient, to be willing and led. Now, if we were just there to shop, we would have not paid attention. But any time life is happening in front of you, it's an opportunity to minister Christ to that.
Yeah.
And even if you can't jump in the middle of it, start walking around and interceding. Say, God, I just thank you that you're in charge of the situation. No weapon formed against that's going to happen. And you just start declaring God's goodness.
Yeah.
Greatest days. We need to understand the power of now. Here's another quiz question for you. Do you know what now is spelled backwards?
One.
W-O-N. There's a victory in now.
Amen.
There's a victory in now.
Amen.
Satan's trying to tell you later, there's a victory in the now.
Amen.
There's a victory in the now. Are you grasping this? There's a victory in the now. Because God wants you victorious today. Not that he's about to do something. Yes, God is about to do great and mighty things, but he's also in our today. So the more that we understand now faith, the more that we can walk in the calling that he has for us. Point number two is that now is when you need to use your faith. You see, when you have faith in the now, you can praise God even before you see the victory with your eyes. Kind of like with the blue bonnets. Just because you didn't see the blue bonnets didn't mean that they weren't there. It just took a certain time for them to develop so that you could enjoy the beauty of it. God's miracles are still developing in your lives. Even though you're not seeing that or seeing the breakthrough, God is still working in your situation. God works all things together for our good. That's what you need to declare to your situations. There will be attacks. There will be enemies coming against you. Technology may not work, but you know what? God works all things together for good.
Yeah.
Maybe you'd have been so distracted by the beautiful PowerPoint, you wouldn't have heard the message today. And now you're like, wow, that's a really great message. I need to start listening to him and not watching that.
Amen.
So God works all things together for good. But when we can see, you see, the Word of God tells us that what is seen is temporary. This flesh is temporary. You know, when Austin and I went to pray with Mike Lakey about two Saturdays ago, I didn't know that was the last time I'd be saying anything to Mike. But this flesh is temporary. But my soul is eternal. What you earn is temporary. And I'll tell you, especially if you have kids, what you earn is very temporary. Amen? Okay? Because I'll tell you what, kids can go through money like a hot knife through butter, okay? So what is made, what is earned, what is built on this world is temporary. Everything will burn. The only thing that you will take with you into eternity are the lives that you've changed for the kingdom of God.
Right.
Do you realize that? The only thing you're taking in, you're not going to be able to take your iPhone 6 into heaven with you. Okay? Forget it. You're not going to need those contacts. You are going to be in contact with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yeah.
You're not going to care about everyone else on your Outlook or your contact list. Everything that was important to you now is not important to the moment you step into heaven. Amen?
Right.
So there is a now mentality, and what you have to see is that God is working together in your now. And start giving God praise.
Amen.
You say, but Pastor, I haven't seen a breakthrough. That's what God is looking for, because he's looking for believers that have the faith that can praise God in the now.
Amen.
Anybody can praise God after a victory.
Amen.
Even sinners can give God praise after a victory that they've seen.
Amen.
It takes no faith.
That's right.
But it takes faith to declare that victory beforehand.
Amen.
It takes faith to declare God's word in that situation.
Amen.
Even though you're not seeing it in the physical, your heart is in the spiritual saying, I see that. I see that relationship restored. I see those words coming back to me in adoration. I see my finances coming back in. I see that the rebuilding of that relationship or the people or the situation. But we have to declare that with our words. We have to declare. It's one thing to think it. You need to speak it out.
Right.
You need to find a scripture, declare it over that situation, and declare God's word over it.
Amen.
Because Hebrews 11:1, which is a fabulous, awesome scripture, the first two words says, now faith. Now, maybe you've known the scripture and see what you've done. You've probably put a comma in there. Now, comma, faith is the substance. But it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see.
Right.
Now faith. What was the name of my title, my sermon? Now faith. So what? Even Hebrews 11 is saying, now faith is the confidence That's what God is wanting us to get today, that no matter what your circumstance looks like, no matter what people are telling you, no matter what negative attacks have happened to your life, no matter what hasn't worked, you still declare God's goodness.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Because it's only by declaring God's goodness that we grow in our faith with Him. Anybody can complain. Do you realize that? They don't even have to teach babies how to complain. People learn to complain very easily. And some people not only went and got their master's, they got their PhDs, they're doctors of it. Listen to CNN. There's a lot of doctors on there complaining with all these numbers and letters behind their names, all complaining. How many people are getting up on television and declaring good word? Declaring goodness. You see, that's what we're designed to do in our world. You may not ever be on CNN. You may never be on Daystar or TVN, but you have a world that I will never reach. You have a workplace. You have a neighborhood. You have friends. You have family that need to see and hear an encouraging word.
Yes.
And those people haven't seen blue bonnets in a very long time, but that doesn't mean that God's not about to bloom you right in front of them.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they'll see, wow. They serve a living God.
Yeah.
What must I do to be saved? But we have to declare it before we're ever going to see it. Because we have faith, even based upon Hebrews 11. What is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. And God is concerned with the world that we live in right now. Have you ever wished that you lived in a different time? You know, sometimes Christians... whenever it snows, we have to watch Pride and Prejudice. I don't know why, but it's just a tradition. And Austin and I roll our eyes because we're so tired of Mr. Darcy getting married. But she sees the glamour of those big gowns and the beauty and everything. And I know deep in our hearts she would just love the elegance of that. And I said, honey, they don't bathe much back then. They didn't have deodorant. They didn't have toothbrushes and toothpaste. Their teeth didn't look like that. You know, and this was the way you got makeup. And this was Mary Kay back in the 1800s, just pinching your cheek. So see, you don't see that, but you always wish, oh, could I have not lived during that time? How many of us would have loved to have been riding a motorcycle in the 1950s? You know what I mean? Because the only thing rolled up in the sleeves were just cigarettes. There wasn't anything more worth it, but they were just, that was it. But God didn't want you in the 1950s. God didn't want you in the 1850s. God wanted you right now.
Yes, sir.
God has a plan and a purpose for your life right now. He did not waste any of you. He did not make any plans. He didn't say, oops, they were supposed to go 19 years ago. Well, we'll just put it in right now. He didn't pencil you in. You are not a change to His agenda.
Amen.
He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Even if you don't feel like you have a plan and purpose, even if you're tired, you say, well, at my age, no. You never retire from your relationship with Christ. The only retirement we have is the promotion into the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So these people say, well, you know, I've served my Sunday school days. I'm going to let other people do it. Why? You have more knowledge to share with that generation. God does not waste His time, and God has planning. And we have to have now faith because we live in a now world. Our world changes every day, especially with social media. Our world is changing every day. One video can change the outcome of a candidate. One rumor can ruin a reputation. One blog can destroy a life. One text from you can destroy somebody. That's why we have to have now faith. We have to have that faith in God. And we have to be willing to share it every day. Not just on Sundays when we're all dressed up, but on Tuesdays when it's raining and you don't feel godly. That's when you need to get more in with the presence of God. When you're feeling being pushed out because of your flesh, push in with your spirit.
Man.
That's when breakthrough really happens.
Good word.
If you just say, well, you know, if Nina plays the right songs and I lift my hand and I feel, ooh, then I'll experience God. God wants more of you than that one song on Sunday morning. God wants you on Thursday at 4 a.m. when He wakes you up and you don't know why you woke up, you start praying.
Amen.
And if you don't have no one to pray for me. Okay, I'll put my name on your list. But then all of a sudden you start praying for me and you say, well, if praying for Pastor, I better pray for Kristen because she has to live with him. So let me pray for Kristen. And then as we pray for Kristen, all of a sudden you just start going and man, you'll realize your prayer list just got full. But it's a lie of the enemy that you have no one to pray for.
Yeah.
Right. Pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. Pray for Jerusalem. That's what we're called to do. We have a now is the faith. God is concerned with our now. Point number three is now is the time to walk with God. As life goes by, sometimes we lose our energy. I'm going to read a passage to you.
I'm going to borrow this chair if you don't mind. I don't think you need three.
All right. I'll bring it back. There's a passage that all of you are very familiar with. Do you remember when you were in high school and you had to do grammar? And back in my day, we had chalkboards. And we would have to write a sentence out and you'd have to diagram it. Do you remember that? And you'd have to write, what are the verbs? What are the adverbs? Nouns? Pronouns? Y'all should kind of remember and shaking your head on some of this. Okay, I want to read a passage to you. Psalms 1:1, very familiar passage. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk, I'm giving you some verbs here, walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, take or sit in the company of mockers. So what are the three verbs that I kind of highlighted to you?
Walk,
stand, and sit. Have you ever noticed those three verbs in that passage? We read that passage, but what it's saying, though, is, you know what, when we first start off with our walk with Christ, man, we're walking with God. We're in love with Him, and we're just like, God, just thank you for pouring out your love, and oh, this is so much, and man, look at all the opportunities, and let me go tell this stranger how much God loves them, and that's that zealous of being in a new relationship, amen?
Yes.
And then, after a couple years, we get very mature in the Word, and so we're like, God, you know, you go ahead and walk on. I'm going to just stand here and I just want to notice how the church is going. And I want to give some wisdom on this. So I'm going to stand for a little while, God. You go on. I'm just going to stay here and stand. And you know what? As you're standing, all of a sudden you'll get tired. So then you sit. Now, I think sitting is very dangerous because then when you're sitting, you get a little too comfortable and you start just noticing everything, you have an opinion on everything, and you start judging everybody, right? How easy would it be to sit at the front of Walmart and judge people as they walk in there, right? Girl, those slippers don't match that curlers. Go. Now, pull up the pants before you walk in there. I don't want to see that flat. Okay. So see, it's real easy for us to do that, but God didn't call us to sit there and judge people. And unfortunately, the church has gotten out of the walking with God. We stood for a while, and now we're just deciding to sit and just see what happens in society. God does not want the church sitting in today's society. God wants us standing up. He wants us to be a light on a hill that is easily seen, and that light sheds light in darkness.
Right.
See, there's darkness everywhere. And you need to be standing. And I don't want to stand. God wants you walking with Him. Because when you're walking with God, you're not noticing everything else that you want to be judging.
Amen.
Good word.
If we're judging, we're not walking with God. Because love keeps no record of wrong. That's what the Word of God says. So when we, but these people, they deserve a little judgment. Okay, come on. No. Aren't you glad that God doesn't hold that standard to our lives, but yet we extend it to other people? Who are we compared to what God has done for us? So see, when you read this passage, it is a beautiful passage. I want you always to remember those three verbs. Say, God, allow me to always be walking with you. Don't allow me to stand and allow you to go on ahead of me. I want to be in your presence all the time, God. I want to walk with you in your presence. And God, please forgive me when I sit down and I just decide to start judging everything that I see. And unfortunately, that's where the church is today. We not only need to get up, we need to start walking with God again.
Yes.
And that's where the presence of God is. That's where the power of God is. There's where the miracle and the manifestations of God is. You see, a lot of people say, well, I don't see that anymore because the church stopped walking with God. And they're sitting down. And you know what's so amazing is I was reading somebody that is attending Azusa Street right now in Los Angeles. And it's saying that miracles are taking place. And when you're pulling into the Coliseum, you're experiencing the presence of God. That is the awakening, the revival that this nation needs. You know what? But I don't want to follow them. I want to be in step with them, even though we're thousands of miles apart.
Yep.
Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us.
Yes.
So we can see those miracles. We can see the manifestations if we have now faith.
Right.
Oh, but Pastor, it's going to get so much better in the future. No, it's great now.
Yes.
But you may say, well, I don't feel great now because you're not exercising your now faith.
Right.
Woo! And if you get this, and you apply it to this, it's going to radically change your life.
Amen. Yes.
Just the way Christ was crucified between two thieves, our now can be crucified between two thieves. Yesterday and tomorrow.
Right.
Because Satan will always want to remind you of yesterday. Always. Who are you sharing your testimony? Don't you know what kind of filthy person you are? Don't you know what people think about you? Who are you to tell them about God? You don't know anything about the Bible. You know what? Even if you don't even know anything about the Bible, just share what God's done in your life. And if yesterday doesn't get you, then tomorrow's going to get you, because listen, there's always going to be time for this later. You can study your Bible when things slow down. This is not the time right now. You can pray for people. You know they like to talk. So just pray for them later, okay? Just send them a quick Twitter telling you you're praying for them. But you can pray for them later. You'll get more discipline. You'll grow in God when you get older.
Uh-huh.
There's the two themes of yesterday and tomorrow.
Right.
And in between is now.
Yeah.
And God says now faith is the confidence we have. Now faith. We need to get up out of the chair. We need to quit standing, walking with God, and start walking in now faith. Amen?
Amen.
My last point. Now is when God gives you grace for today. God gives you strength and grace to deal with the challenges of today. Matthew 6:34. Kristen even kind of touched base on this in her announcements. And she didn't even know I was preaching this message. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. See, we can be worrying about something that's never even going to happen. Satan would love to have you consumed and worry on things that will never happen. When you allow worry to take over your life, worry will grow in you like a cancer.
Wow.
And it will impact every part of your life. It will start in your thought process. It will affect your heart. It will start coming out of your mouth. And worry will start impacting your body. Your blood pressure will all be impacted because of worry.
Right.
And God tells us not to worry.
Right.
Because it's saying, hey, by worrying, what good is it going to do? It's not going to add any to your life. Actually, it's going to take away from your life. That's why when he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Also, do you realize that God says, I will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on me? Now, how many of you have ever encountered perfect peace? You see, it's hard to encounter perfect peace because we walk around with worry. And God is saying, if you keep your mind on me, I will keep you in perfect peace.
Right.
It's an if and then. We want the then, but we don't want the if. If you do this, then you will get that. So if we can walk in the now faith with God and the confidence of who He is and the confidence of who we are because of who He is, then we can walk in the now peace because we don't worry about situations because we know that God's taking care of them. Oh, but it doesn't look like God's taking care of them. Remember, what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. Last week you didn't see the blue bonnets. This week you do see the blue bonnets. God is still working whether you see it or not.
Yeah.
And I am so thankful that God is even working when I sleep.
Amen.
And in the morning I can wake up and the whole situation has changed.
Yep.
But I want to walk in now faith with Him. I want to walk in that peace.
Amen.
I want to walk in the plan that God has. And that's what He's calling us to. Dino, would you come on up, please? Because I'd like to close the service. Now faith can change your life. Because you have to stop discounting today and realizing that God gave you today for a reason. God has a plan and a purpose for your days. No matter how old you are or how young you are, all He's looking for are hearts that says, now, God. Now. I want to be used by You now. I want to feel Your presence in my life now. I want to experience You more than I've ever experienced now. I don't care what's happening to my bank account. I don't care what's happening to my social life. I don't care what's happening in my family. I don't care what's happening in this world. There will always be cares in this world. But I want to get into the presence with You. I want to spend time with You, God, like I've never spent time with You. And it means you may have to cut out some things that are distracting your life. It means you actually have to turn off that television.
Yeah.
It means, no, it's going to get worse, okay? It may mean you need to turn off your computer. Yeah, I went there. I was waiting on that one. I was letting the computer sink in. And you know what? Why don't you turn off your phone? No, turn it off. There's a switch. Trust me, every one of you has a phone. Oh, turn it off. Not mute.
Right.
Okay, God. I'll be right with you. 1 second. Just give me the strength to shut off my phone and say, God, here I am, Lord. Here I am, God, in the now. Believing You are a God of now. Exercising my now faith, God, that You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that I could ever ask or think, God. Regardless of what I see, Lord God, I believe in Your word, Your promises that are yes and amen. That is having a now faith in a now God, because this is the day the Lord has made. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I want to just pray over you today. Some of you have been bound and worried. And some of you have been dealing with things in your past that God doesn't want you dealing with. He's forgiven it. He's forgotten about it. He's eliminated that file. And yet we're bringing it up because Satan reminds us of our failures. God reminds you of your future. And as I said, your greatest days aren't tomorrow, and it wasn't yesterday. Your greatest day is now, because you have a now faith in a now God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for all that You have done and all that You're about to do. And we thank You that You are a now God. We thank You that Your word says that You never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Lord, allow us to understand Your power and Your presence in today. Father, may we never just write off a day because we were so busy or we had our agenda. But may Your agenda become our agenda. May Your plans become our plans. May Your thoughts become our thoughts, so that this is the day that You have made and You brought us to this point so that we can impact this generation. God, I thank You for generation changers in this audience today. I thank You that they will not only be changing their generation, they're changing their families, they're changing their outlook, they're changing their future because of the now faith. God, that You will overflow them with faith that is so amazing that it becomes contagious. And God, I thank You that every person they come around will become contagious with now faith, and that they will start to believe in a God that is in the God of now, and not in the God of yesterday. God, show this generation the God of now through miracles, signs, wonders, healing, restoration, peace, joy, hope, like we've never encountered before. Father, I thank You so much for what You're about to do in our lives, and that You're preparing us in these messages for what the pouring of the Spirit is going to do. Father, I thank You for a day when we'll sense Your presence in the parking lot. The sinners will be saved even just pulling in because of the power and presence of God. The healings that will take place because of this body of believers and their faith in the now. But Lord, let us take this now faith into our world and make a
changes, not only in our home, our work, our school, our grocery stores, wherever we are, God. We put our hope and our trust in you. Great Jehovah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming today. I'd like to speak a blessing over you as we dismiss. Would you please stand? God's word is good, isn't it? God's word changes our lives, doesn't it? God's word is powerful when it's spoken by your lips over a situation. You need to start declaring God's word over your lives, over your situations, over your employment. Start going, if you're miserable at work, start going in early and praying for your workplace. Start laying chairs, hands on the chairs of people before they even come arriving, and allow God to do something miraculous in your workplace. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Go now in his peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.